Man, that's one of my favorite songs. What a great song that is, Take My Life. All right, I'm going to be in Genesis. Genesis and chapter 30. How many of you are already in your Bible reading out of Genesis? Raise your hand. Good job. All right. Good, 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 good. That does not count if you haven't started yet. Good. We're flying. All right. Well, then you need to preach tonight then. Genesis, I say chapter 30, all right, and verse 36. Jacob here, and he set 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. And Jacob took him rods of green poplar, and you shall turn in there, Genesis 30 and verse 37, and of the hazel and the chestnut tree and pilled white streaks in them, and made the white appear which was on the rods. And he set the rods which he had pilled before the flocks in the gutters in the water, in the watering troughs, when the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink. And the flock conceived before the rods, and brought forth cattle, ring steak, and speckled and spotted. And Jacob did separate the lambs, and set the faces of the flocks toward the ring stakes, and all the brown, and all the flock of Laban. And he put his own flocks by themselves, and he put them not unto Laban's cattle. And it came to pass, whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. And when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in. So the feebler were Laban's, and the stronger Jacob's. And the man increased exceedingly, and had much cattle, and maidservants, and men servants, and camels, and asses. All right, let's pray and talk about this. Father, thank you for the chance to teach your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who can guide us into what's really important. And show us your word, Lord. Thank you. We're in a haven of born-again Bible believers who love your word and want to know what it says and have a zeal for you, and to come in the middle of the week, sometimes to have a little bit of drive, and we thank you for faithful people, and we pray you bless them for being here. We pray that we would hear from you, and that your word will be taught, and we would also grow and learn. And Lord, we love you. We thank you. We get to serve you. We need your help tonight, and just pray that we'd be blessed for being here, and that anyone who would hear this message would be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. This is one of the strange stories of the Bible. If you ever read this, you try to figure out what's going on. Laban, of course, is Jacob's father-in-law, and Laban is a little bit crooked. Jacob, at times, was a little sneaky himself. And those people, when you get them together, are very funny, by the way. If you ever see two people who are kind of crooked and with each other, they are very funny. I like watching it, but I have a weird sense of humor, and they can't believe the other one's trying to sneak something on them, and somebody else is trying to do what I would do. That's not right, but Jacob was growing, and he got fixed, and then he became a new man, and God met with him, and praise the Lord, but he is with Laban. Laban's trying to rip him off, and they had this deal where Jacob was going to get some of the calves and that were born, and the sheep that were born, and the goats that were born, and according to whether they're pure in color or whether they were streaked or spotted. And so Jacob had this method of a couple different kinds of trees. I think a poplar and hazelnut, I think is what it says, or something, wherever it is there. Down to verse 36, it says, and 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. And Jacob took him rods of green poplar and of the hazel and chestnut tree, and piled the streaks in them. So he took the bark off them and put them around watering troughs. When he saw a healthier animal, he would make him look at these white branches that he peeled the pilled the bark off of, and they would conceive, and they would be the right color that Jacob would get to keep them. How many of this has ever confused you? What in the world is talking about? Okay, and so if they would conceive the right colors, and Jacob had to keep them, and Laban got the more feeble ones and got less of them, and Jacob just kept on popping his animals kept on. They were Laban's animals, but the babies Jacob got to keep if they were the right colors and the right patterns. And Jacob got to keep a whole bunch of the healthy ones, and they kept on growing because he put these sticks along the way, along the gutters the water went, and he would make the right ones he wanted to look at the sticks, and they would conceive and have the right colors. So I looked a whole bunch, and I even broke out commentaries, which means you're confounded. And basically, the answer to this thing, if you want to understand it, is I have no idea. And neither does anybody else. Because there is no reason certain sticks and having the things peeled off, and if they look at them when they're in breeding season, and they're going to come up with certain spots, and some won't have spots. They'll be a solid color and all those things, and it'll make the ones be born healthy and all that stuff. The whole story's weird. Okay? And it doesn't make any sense. And you look at it, and you say, that's really strange. And notice, first of all, just a few thoughts in this that'll help you understand it, though. That does not mean I don't have a sermon tonight. That means, just to let you know, it's part of the sermon is that it doesn't make any sense. Okay? Notice, first of all, somebody was trying to do him wrong. Talk about doing him wrong. He goes out, and he falls in love with Rachel, and he says, I want to marry Rachel. And he says, okay. What do I need to marry Rachel? He says, work for me 7 years. And he says, okay. So he works for Laban 7 years, and it seemed like a day because he's so in love with Rachel. And he goes in the wedding day. He goes, and at nighttime when he's sending her to the tent with him, he switches daughters and gives him Leah. And in the morning, he rolls over and looks and says, hey, you're Leah. And, well, he storms up to Laban and says, hey, what's the deal here? I worked for Rachel and you gave me Leah, and I married Leah. What's this deal? This is all wrong. And he says, well, in our country and our tradition is you got to marry the older one first. Well, you might have told me that about 7 years ago. And why did you sneak her in the middle of the night? So I didn't know it. And on and on and on and on. And so Laban had already done him wrong. And Laban wanted to take advantage of Jacob being there. Verse 27, it says, and Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord had blessed me for thy sake. And he appointed me thy wages, and I will give it. And so, verse 29, and he said unto him, I know, thou knowest that I have served thee, and how thy cattle was with me. He says, you know, I didn't have much, and I've helped you, and, you know, we'll make out a deal. I'll just keep these certain ones, and you'll keep the other ones. Well, during this 7 years, it wasn't just Rachel. He had to live, and he had wages, and, well, he was getting ripped off. It says in chapter 31 of verse 7, it says, and his father, and your father hath deceived me, and changed my wages 10 times. Changed my wages 10 times. He's deceived me. He had somebody trying to rip him off, trying to take from him, trying to do him wrong. Verse 42, except the God of my fathers, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac, and had been with me, surely thou hadst sent me away now empty, talking to Laban. He says, you would have sent me without anything if God weren't protected me. God has seen my afflictions and the labor of mine hand and rebuked thee yesterday. So he says, you know, you would have sent me away empty. Verse 41, thus have I been 20 years in thy house. I served thee 14 years for thy two daughters, and the 6 years for thy cattle, and thou hast changed my wages 10 times. He had a guy who was trying to rip him off, and it didn't work. That's an important point. This Laban was, Jacob knew it. So this guy's changed my wage. He deceived me and made me work for 14 years, the woman I wanted. And the 7 years, by the way, wasn't tradition anywhere else in the cultures there. And you would think 7 years being there among the people, somewhere along the way, somebody would have said, hey, do you know you got to marry the first daughter for... I don't think it was. I think it was a deceptive Laban. Laban deceiving him. He was a deceptive man. He was crooked. And Jacob said, "You would have sent me away empty if you could have." Why? He knew that Laban was that kind of person. But when he left, Jacob was a very wealthy, blessed man. He had amazing things happen. He had an amazing amount of livestock and wealth. He was very, very blessed. Why? That's the key here. Chapter 31 and verse 5. And he said to him, I see your father's countenance that it is not toward me as before, but the God of my father hath been with me. Verse 7. And your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God suffered him not to hurt me. Why was he okay? God took care of him. Chapter 30, verse 27. The Lord had blessed me for thy sake. See, God had taken care of Jacob because God was with him, and so things worked out. Things were okay. As a matter of fact, Jacob knew he's right with God, and God is blessing him. And he says, you know what? We'll go ahead and just see what happens here. Look at verse 33. So, because Laban is trying to work out a deal and kind of rip him off. And Jacob said, let's just see how this works. It looks like a great deal for Laban, but you know what? God's going to take care of me. Verse 33, it says, so shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come? He says, you know what? We'll just see how this wage things works out. Because you think the deal you just got is going to make it so I'm going to have a bunch of scrawny dead animals and you're going to get all the healthy ones. But God is my righteousness will answer for me. My integrity will show that I'm blessed and I'm going to be okay here because I've done right and you're not doing right. But you know what? I'll work at this deal because God's with me. Why did the sticks work? Isn't that crazy idea? It wasn't a great idea. Don't try this and think you're going to go into livestock business and you're going to have ranchers laughing at you. Okay? It will not help you to have sticks with their skins peeled off and their bark peeled off and put them by the watering troughs. And when they're about to conceive, make them look at the stick in the right color and right kind of that you're not going to. Why did it work? Why did they even try that? You know, I noticed this when I saw people over the years. I used to watch this in Bible college. I would see, and people in the ministry I still see this with, is people with the hand of God upon them. It doesn't matter if it makes sense. It's God anyway. And sometimes they do the most cockamamie things. And you're going, what are you doing? But it works. And God just says, hey, I got this idea. And God gets the glory. And you say, you know what? And Jacob had to do something. And he tried. And he did his best effort and had this idea. And he says, I got this great idea. I'm going to do this. And probably his employees are going, okay. And then it worked. Why? Because Jacob said the reason why. He would have ripped me off. He would have done this, but God is with me. 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 There's so many funny stories I could tell in the ministry about things that I've seen people do. We were talking about one day in the bus ministry in Chicago where we're talking about big days. And the best big days and what work to bring to fill your bus up and all this stuff. And our division leader, he said, listen, he says, the best day in the world is backward day. He says, listen, he says, you wear your clothes backward. You back the bus down the street. You walk to the kid's door backward. And you walk him back the bus backward. And he says, backward Sunday packs out your bus. That's the stupidest idea in the world. But God used it. And then I got a backward Sunday. He had two buses backing down streets full of people. Why? Because God used him. I laugh, Brother Goddard. He laughs about himself. He's such a good friend. He's got such a funny sense of humor. And he was telling about he had this couple get married. They're a Filipino family. And he says they were just core people in their church. And they've been going to the church for over 20 years. And since the very, very early in the church, they've been going to that church. And he said they decided to go to a church and they got saved at church and he was performing this ceremony for their daughter who'd been raised up in the church. And he says they were just a God, I think maybe the daughter or son, I don't remember which. And he says he was doing this ceremony and he wanted to tell about how they first started coming to church. He didn't know the whole story. He just remembered that they called on Sunday morning early, and the dad was a very diligent man and called like 7:30 in the morning and said, "Hey, I want to come. I'm going to start coming to a Christian church. I decided I'm going to come to a Christian church." He says, "What time's your service? And I want to, maybe I'll come to your church." Well, Brother Goddard, Brother Goddard answered the phone. The church phone at that point was his home phone. It wasn't cell phones back then. This is 32 years ago. He got up in bed. He was sitting down. He was sitting on the edge of the bed. Right as he just got up to get ready for church, the phone rang. He's sitting on the edge of his bed in pajamas. Phone's ringing. He reaches over there groggy. You know, Faith Baptist Church in Wildomar. "Yeah, so what time's your service? Da 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 da." He says, "Yeah, it's at 10 o'clock. And da 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 da." And Brother Goddard is like, "Oh, man, I'm so tired." And so he gets up. 20 years later, he found out that dad had hung up the phone and said, "That's the church we're going to. That man of God is already in the church building and up and awake at 7:30. And he says, "Any man like that is the kind of man I want leading my family. If he's already at the church, already working at 7:30 in the morning, that's the church we're going to." You know why? Was he at the church? No, he's sitting in bed in his pajamas. He told him after the wedding, he said, "You know, I didn't know that till then. That's very funny. You know what I was actually doing?" And why? Because God is with him. And God just blesses you and makes it work when you're you. And God uses your plan when God's with you. And when God's not with you, your plan works about as smart as it was. Or you might even have a good plan and it works terrible. And you go, "Why is Jacob's plan working? That's a dumb plan." Because God is with him. And Jacob said, "Hey, I would have been empty. I would have gotten here with nothing if it weren't for God protecting me. And God took care of me." And this is, I'm making an effort. I'm trying to do my best. But it's God that does it. It's God who figures it all out. It doesn't make sense. If you try to read that story, I've heard that story 10 times in the last 2 days. It still didn't make sense. I love when people, they figure out there must be something to this. I mean, you would not believe the stupid explanations. I mean, they're really bad. I mean, I can't even tell them publicly. They're so stupid and so weird. And all kinds of dumb ideas and all kinds of things that, and I'm going, no. Jacob was trying to figure something out. But God just blessed. You notice God blesses effort when you try something? You know, if God does 1,000% blessing on your zero, you have zero. Give God something to bless, even if it's not the best thing to have. You don't have to have everything ideal in life to try for God. But give God something to bless. And if God's with you, he can use your weakness, your failure, you don't have that. All I have is this, but give it to God. And get God's hand upon you. And let the Lord be with you. Boy, this is so true. When the Lord's with you, notice a person who is trying to ruin him couldn't ruin him even though they had an advantage. Why? Because God is with him. Except the God of my father had been with me, he would have left me empty. Except God would have been with me, he would have destroyed me. He was changing my wages and trying to rip me off, but God blessed me and my animals grew healthy. And he thought he had, he's like laughing going, "What a terrible deal. I'm going to get all the healthy animals. They all come out this way, not this way. He's what is he doing? All right. I already got 14 years out of the guy. Now I'm going to get all the healthy animals while he takes care of them. And takes care of the calving and the breeding and all that stuff. This is going to be great." And then he gets the scrawny, weak ones. And the ones that come out the right colors went to Jacob. Why? He says it over and over. Except God would have been with me. Verse 7. Verse 5. Verse 42. Except the Lord had been with me. But the God of my father hath been with me. Notice the same thing you see in Joseph's life, Genesis chapter 39. You see the same exact thing. Genesis 39. In verse 2, and it said, the Lord was with Joseph. Now he's going into slavery. And he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of the master of the Egyptians. And the master saw the Lord is with him. And the Lord made all that he had to prosper in his hand. Why? Joseph sold into slavery, but the Lord's with him, so he's going to be okay. You know, somebody can try to ruin you and try to destroy you, but if the Lord's with you, you'll be okay. You know, if you plot less about revenge and outwitting them, and just make sure, first of all, before you make all your plans, the Lord is with you. And Jacob, though, getting sold into slavery, ended up in a very comfortable position for a while, and he got put in jail. And in verse 21, it says, but the Lord was with Joseph. Verse 23, the keeper of the prison looked not at anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. It was so evident that God is with him that even the people who didn't know God said, the Lord's with him. Why? These guys could have been destroyed. They could have missed their opportunities. They could have been ruined by bad people. Yet when God is with you, it does not matter if your plan is great. It does not matter if you have enemies. It does not matter who's trying to stop you. It does not matter how tough your enemies are. The more important thing than you outwitting and trying to get a great plan and everything else is make sure God is with you. Because no matter where you are, no matter what happens, the blessing of God maketh rich. It takes care of you. The hand of God is good upon them. And it never stopped. And Joseph is always okay, no matter what happened. It's the hand of God. Well, how can I get the hand of God upon me? Just a few things. We'll just see with Joseph. Just a couple. And there's lots of things about the hand of God and like going into all that. But just some things with Jacob's life. Let's go back to chapter 30. First of all, you do the right thing, whether other people aren't doing the right thing. Verse 33, so shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come. You know, Jacob could have, let's take this. Jacob gets Leah, and he says, you got to work another 7 years. He says, okay, I'll work 7 years. And then in the middle of the night, you know what he does? Rachel, we're getting out of here. That probably was just in some ways. He worked 7 years for her, but he didn't. He could have done several things, yet he says, I'm going to do the right thing here. And though you're trying to cheat me, it's... Now, he was trying to get a good deal too. But he's at a disadvantage. But God was with him, so it was okay. First of all, walk in your integrity. Do the right thing, even if the other person isn't. Number two, you got to obey God's plan and do what God tells you to do. Chapter 31 and verse 3, and the Lord said unto Jacob, return now to the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. Do what I say, and I'll be with you. Chapter 32 and verse 9. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, the God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidest unto me, return to thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. You know what he said? He's bringing that back up. God, if you said, I will come to this country, well, now I'm coming. And I'm in this country, and I'm obeying you. So be with me, because I've done what you said. That's why at the end of the Great Commission, when we obey him and go win souls, he says, and lo, I am with you always. Because his hand and his blessing, and he's with you and you're obedient Christian. And he says, my integrity answer for me, this will work out okay for me. I'll be fine. Because I'm going to do the right thing. Just a few verses to remind you of this truth and just to remind you that if you can get God on your side and get the Lord to be with you, you'll be okay no matter what is messed up, no matter how much the circumstances are against you. Psalm 124, let me just read you a few verses. When God is with you, he can take you in out of any mess. He can get you out of prison when you're Peter, when you're Paul. He can take care of you in any circumstance. If the Lord is with you, he can, even if people mean things for evil, God can bring good. Psalm 124 and verse 1, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, how now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters had overwhelmed us. The streams had gone over our head. You see what he's saying there? If God was on our side, this would have done us in. But God is on our side. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us a prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54 Isaiah 54. In verse 17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. There is a heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. He says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And to include, really, just a great way of saying all that we've just said. What shall we then say to these things? Verse 31, Romans 8, 31. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? I have a new method of buying airline tickets. I can save you. I had three of the best search engines looking, and I had every date. I had a certain system set up so it'd look at every single day. And if I went one day back or forward, I had entire months laid out in front of me. I know how to buy plane tickets. And I could not get those tickets for under $1,318. But I was so brilliant. I decided that I would mess up my typing on the internet and make the website not work. So I would call them, because the customer service people in a different country always are really helpful. And I had a great plan. And guess what? Because of that, I saved $300. Because of that great plan of calling customer service, who on hold said, if you book online, there will be a charge for booking. If you book over the phone, there will be a charge. Did I figure it out? Did I have a great idea? No. No. Matter of fact, confessing to be honest with you, I didn't want to do it that way. But God had a plan and blessed. God's in this thing. You know, it's so fun to live blessed. And I'm not always blessed, and I don't always do the right thing, and I don't always, sometimes I mess it up so bad that the sticks that I do that with end up poking holes and killing the animal, because God's not with me, and my idea flops worse and makes it worse. But when God's with you, you don't have to understand that story. It doesn't make any sense. It wasn't a good plan. Don't worry. People, and there's some smart people online trying to figure out the scientific reason for that. And it's really embarrassing. You don't look at something. Can you imagine that? Look at a handsome, ma'am, I know you're giving birth right now. Stop screaming for a sec. Look at this poster and your child will come out handsome. That it doesn't work, okay? My wife was looking at, well, you know, my wife was looking at me when she had those beautiful children. Maybe. But she wasn't looking at me pleasantly. It's your fault. But you know, listen. When God is with you, you'll be okay. But I got this and this and this problem and trouble and enemy and da 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 and everything. Listen, just get God with you. Please the Lord. And Jacob kept saying, if God wasn't with me, this guy would rob me blind. He's one sneaky dude, man. Somehow he got the wrong girl in the tent on my wedding day. I was wondering why he wouldn't give me a lantern. This guy's clever. I mean, he said, this guy, I would have left with nothing, but God is with me to protect me. God, but he said three times, if God wasn't with me, but God is with me. And he made this whole thing equal. He took care of this deal because God is with me. So what you need, more than figuring out the greatest plan and try to figure out a good plan and do your best, but make sure God's with you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God, and thank you that Jacob, though sometimes he was kind of knucklehead sometimes. Sometimes you'd shake our heads at him, yet you just were with him and you started blessing him. He started obeying you, and he found you at Bethel. And Lord, I pray tonight we'd understand that we don't have to be the brightest or cleverest. We just need to have you with us and obey you and be in your will and trust you. Thank you, God, for teaching us this, and thank you for showing us. I don't think you probably could have shown any weirder of a plan. And people missed the point that Jacob kept saying. Jacob never said to you, Father, that if I would have done this certain thing with the sticks, I'd have been ripped off. He just said, if God wasn't with me, he knew. And Lord, I pray we'd get the point that so many people miss in this story. That Jacob said multiple times, help us to get it, that it's you. That we need you to be with us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Thank you for that, Lord, that we're okay. In Jesus' name, heads bowed, eyes closed. Is God with you?